Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. No fault auto insurance in Michigan. A lot of people are sick and tired of paying the highest rates in the nation. But we also get the best coverage in the nation. And if you're in a bad, bad accident and something catastrophic happens to you, a spinal injury, brain injury, whatever it might be, you have unlimited insurance. That coverage will pay for all the surgeries you need. It will pay for rehabilitation for as long as you need it, even if that's a lifetime. It will pay for accessible transportation, accessible housing. Your family's not going to go bankrupt because of your medical bills just because you were in a crash. No other state comes close to requiring that level of coverage. First, you get personal injury protection that covers up to $555,000 in medical costs. Then an annual fee is assessed for coverage of all necessary medical costs beyond that. This year, that fee is $192 per car per year. That's $16 a month for unlimited coverage of health care costs above $555,000. Joining me is one of the advocates to keep that kind of coverage. Stephen Sinus is an attorney working with the Coalition to Protect Auto No Fault, which we'll just call CPAN from here on. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So explain something to me. If this unlimited lifetime medical coverage for costs above $555,000 is costing us $192 a year, why is Michigan's auto insurance average above $2,000 a year and about $900 above the national average?
The answer to the question of why our rates are what they are is unfortunately not a simple answer. I can tell you this, that the no-fault insurance issue is a component of our rates and trying to understand why our rates are so high. There is a whole other set of issues that has to deal with how much people are paying in certain portions of the state, how zip coding is a huge issue with the amount that people have to pay in certain areas of the state, people's non-driving rating factors, such as education, marital status, all these factors that don't really have anything to do with how well we drive. Those factors play into our rates.
Right. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you about that later, but let's get into it right now. Insurance companies use about 12, 13 things, including, as you mentioned, you know, where you live, your age, your gender, your marital status, your credit history. And these are all things that if they were in any other business, charging you by these measures would end up in a civil rights case. So why do the insurance companies get to do this?
They get to do it because no legislators, no group of legislators any time before now have had the courage to step up and change that. And so it's basically a practice that's lawful because it has not been rendered unlawful.
How should they be charging for auto insurance?
There are a lot of different approaches. Right now, we're in this debate where there's all this outrage about the rates and this rallying cry to do away with no fault. And we need to talk about our no fault system. We need to talk about how it's a good system, how it has this great coverage that you so eloquently explained. But at the same time, there are problems with this system. There are problems with any system that exists for over 40 years of time and needs improvement, needs tweaks along the way. So when we're talking about this debate and talking about a group like CPAN and what CPAN wants to have done, CPAN wants to have this system improved. It wants to try to fix the problems. Ultimately, the best way of summing it up is that CPAN wants to do away with the inefficiencies that are in the system that do cost people money. So CPAN is committed to that cause. But when you're talking about the other issues, such as these non-driving rating factors and the way our premiums are set, that also has to be part of this debate. In other words, the insurance industry can't have its cake and eat it too. They can't say, let's sell people's coverage down the river. Let's make it so that people don't have what they reasonably need because we can't do anything about rates. That's not a fair way to approach this debate.
Tell me a little more about CPAN. Who are the members who make up the coalition?
It is a very interesting coalition of groups and individuals. So you have the Michigan Brain Injury Association. You have the Michigan Brain Injury Provider Council, which is the group of medical providers that tries to service the brain injured. You have the Michigan Association for Justice, which is the association that looks after civil justice here in Michigan, making sure that individuals have important rights and have a way of enforcing them in court. You also have the Michigan Chiropractic Association, Michigan Osteopathic Association, Michigan Medical Society, Michigan State Medical Society, and you have a whole list of consumers, auto accident survivors, attorneys, And the common ground of CPAN is that it is good for the state of Michigan to have a system here where our auto insurance combined with our health insurance can give us everything we reasonably need to overcome our auto accident injuries. That's CPAN's rallying cry.
If auto insurance restructuring happens in Michigan, what exactly do you want to preserve? Tell us about the up to $555,000that's part of coverage, and then about the catastrophic funds that we're talking about. Are those two things that you think are necessary?
So to give you a good answer to that question, let me talk about this word unlimited. I think you used it in a very fair and accurate way. I think the word unlimited gets tossed around in this debate in such a way that kind of makes it confusing and mischaracterizes what this system's all about and what CPAN is trying to preserve. So let me explain what I mean by that. There is no provision in the law where the word unlimited appears. You can look at the Michigan No-Fault Act. It's a very long statute, and the word unlimited does not appear in any part of the statute. Okay? What it says is that people will get anything that is reasonably necessary for the care, recovery, or rehabilitation of their injuries. So what we're talking about is a system that is predicated upon satisfying the reasonable needs of the care, recovery, and rehabilitation of people. And so when you're talking about changing that system, the proposals that have been introduced so far, those bills seek to provide people something less than what they reasonably need. Those bills seek to allow people to buy a policy that will only cover up to a certain dollar amount. And what CPAN wants to do is try to work through the problems and the inefficiencies that are in the system, but that at the same time preserves the right for people and their families to have what they reasonably need to recover.
Let's talk about the inefficiencies a little bit, because I want to understand that. One auto law attorney told me that one of the big issues leading to extremely high rates in Detroit and Wayne County is fraudulent medical claims. And if that's the case, why is that happening? And why hasn't somebody cracked down on that as a way of getting those rates a little lower in that county? Because that's where they're the highest, there and Flint and places like that.
So nobody should support or defend insurance fraud, and CPAN certainly stands very strongly against it and wants to see it out of the system because it is an inefficiency. So in no way, shape, or form is CPAN not trying to say that insurance fraud shouldn't be dealt with. It should be. But let me make a few points about that. First of all, it is not accurate to say that insurance fraud is not being somehow addressed right now. I deal with litigation under the no-fault insurance system all the time. And the lawyers hired by insurance companies are looking for fraud, and they find fraud, and fraud becomes an issue in cases all the time. And it provides the insurance company a way of certainly not paying the claim and then holding the person accountable for the fraud if they can prove it. So there are some meaningful ways in which fraud is being addressed. There should be some other consequences, potentially, where people who engage in fraud should obviously not be able to do so with impunity. And when it comes down to other parts of this whole issue about insurance fraud and medical costs, let me say this. This narrative that's out there that a medical provider can choose to charge whatever they want to charge and that the insurance company has to pay that charge, that is not true. I don't see that happening in any case I handle. I don't ever see an insurance company in a position where they have to pay whatever the provider says. In fact, what I see more and more and more of over the last several years is the insurance companies challenging the charges of medical providers, and sometimes rightfully so, but also sometimes maybe not. They use audit companies. They use all these tactics to increase litigation. So I want to just tie this to this one point. CPAN embraces a reasonable fee schedule for a lot of different reasons. One, because it'll make the system more efficient and it'll control costs. But also, it will get these disputes about what the charge should be, what the payment should be, out of the system so that we don't have to litigate charges, so that we can just say, hey, this is what the charge is, pay it, and then we don't have to duke it out in litigation. That's one example of an efficiency CPAN's supporting.
What happens if Michigan does eliminate no-fault as we know it and that catastrophic claims fund is shut down for future auto crash victims?
There's a real concern here that the way the statute's written is that the over $20 billion that's in the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association, if that money's not needed to care for auto accident victims, that it's not going to go back to Michigan consumers, but that it's going to go back to the insurance companies that control the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association. So when you're talking about overhauling the system and changing it as we know it, making it a completely different system, there needs to be certainly some measures taken to make sure that $20 billion doesn't go into the pockets of the insurance companies, but does go back to Michigan consumers. That's the only fair way, because the consumers are the ones that put that money into the MCCA.
The MCCA says that that money is there. It's only enough money to basically take care of the people who are being taken care of now. And I guess there's a question about whether that's true or not. Do we have any idea? I mean, nobody's been able to go in and actually do an audit of it.
That's right. CPAN tried to get more and more information about the rate-making data that the MCCA uses to assess our annual fees on our vehicle. And what it comes down to is that the MCCA fought that all the way to the Supreme Court. There are all these technical arguments about why the MCCA is not subject to FOIA. And long story short is that the Supreme Court said that given a piece of legislation passed by the legislature in 2002, the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association is not subject to FOIA, and so it doesn't have to turn over all the information that might be relevant to this debate. And that's really unfortunate. So it's another area where legislators, if they're really looking to be fair here, they need to open up the books of the MCCA and let everyone be able to assess the money that's there and whether or not that's the money that they actually need to operate.
Stephen Sinus is a partner in the Sinus Dramus law firm in Lansing. He's working with the Coalition to Protect Auto No-Fault, CPAN, which wants to preserve personal injury protection insurance and no-fault insurance in Michigan. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.